Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell-Reed, my co-host Gwyn Sheltimer, and our guests this week, Michael Gelman and Deborah Smith. Each week we visit with authors of all kinds, editors, teachers or publishers, who have regional or local connections. We hope to find out a little about their lives, what prompts them to write, give them an opportunity to read some of their work for us. We're very pleased to have Michael Gelman and Deborah Smith with us today. Welcome to you both.
Hi.
Hi.
Glad to be here.
Michael J. Gelman has had a career spanning 40 years in the theatre as an actor and director, as well as serving as artistic director for the Toronto Second City. Since 1976, he's also taught in universities, acting centres and festivals in the US, London, England, Paris and Rome. At Columbia, he taught in both the film directing department and the comedy studies program. At present, he is teaching as a masterclass teacher at Second City, artistic new directions in New York, and also working as a freelance director and actor. He teaches at Loyalist College and will be conducting workshops in England this spring. Deborah Smith is both a writer and an actress. She's acted for several theatres in Chicago, including the Chicago Shakespeare Theatre, performing most recently in Henry V. She spent 3 seasons with Rendition Theatre, where she adapted and performed in Strindberg's Creditors as Tekla and played various roles in her own adaptation of J.M. Barrie's Echoes of War. Deborah taught acting for 6 years in Chicago, and was the founder and first artistic director of the St. Lawrence Shakespeare Festival in Prescott, Ontario. She's written 2 full-length plays, The Quartermaster and Grace Speaks Out. Deborah holds an MA from the London Academy of Music and Dramatic Arts, where she studied classical acting, and a BA from Concordia University, where she began her writing career. We'd like to introduce you to our audience as the founders of a new exciting theatrical enterprise, The Process Theatre, and find out how it came about that you decided to set this up in our area. Please tell us what drew you to Northumberland, and Colborne in particular.
Well, we actually own a little house in Castleton, and before I moved to Chicago, about 9 years ago, I purchased the house en route from the Ottawa area to Toronto. I just love the area, and I actually purchased it as a writer's retreat. I've been writing for quite some time, and I just found it really beautiful sitting in the hills there, very quiet. And then I was going back and forth to Chicago up and down that highway for 9 years, and we were spending time there for holidays and things, and I always kept it as a retirement retreat. And here we are, retreating and retiring.
Oh,
we're semi-retiring.
Not retiring.
Yeah. We're pretty busy, actually.
So what kind of plays and reviews do you envisage as part of your program for Process Theatre? How many presentations will you hope to stage in a year?
We started out with the idea of doing a fairly typical season of 3 to 5 plays, but we're moving to a new venue at the Hoselton Studios in Colborne, and we're going to, for this year, do 2 productions. One in the summer, a summer ballyhoo, we're calling it, which I think is a really fun name. We're going to do a 21st century sideshow, which is the old 10-in-1s, the freak shows from the carnivals, and do it as a modern day version where the people who used to be in the sideshow or the bearded lady, well, what are those things that make people outsiders in modern times? Well, it's paranoia, it's political unrest, it's fear of the future, of financial insecurity. It's all those things that make us monstrous in the present day. And then the second one is we're going to continue the tradition we started this year of a Colborne Christmas. So this year it was Feliz Navidad. We put the posters up and everybody thought stores were for lease, but it was actually the name of the show, Feliz Navidad. So every year we're going to do a Summer Ballyhoo, and every year we're going to do a Colburn Christmas. And there'll be different titles each year, and all of them are in the review style. I'm from Second City. Mm-hmm. A lot of my work was at Second City over the course of years. And so these are original shows, mostly comedic, a lot of music. So a lot of laughs, a lot of music, and we like to make fun of ourselves and of ourselves living in the area we live in, which is Northumberland County.
That sort of leads into my next question. Do you think that a theater in a small place has a different function from one in a large city?
Well, the function isn't really different, but the way it works is.
Yes.
In a city, sometimes theater, there's so much choice. So sometimes it's right in front of your nose, but you have a choice of going to one or the other, and you miss a lot, and yet it's right in front of you. In a small town, it's in front of you, and you get people who have never been to theater before coming out, which is something incredible to me. I just love it. I think it's incredible when we can introduce theater to people for the first time.
I think one of the interesting things about country theater is that there was so much community theater in the 19th century, mm-hmm. and everybody joined in, and it was all amateur, mm-hmm. but everybody took part, and
you know. Right. And theater is a community, so, yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, there's two different kinds of theater in that regard. And one is community theater, and it is community, and it is open to a lot of different people. And a lot of people got their start, a lot of really famous actors nowadays got their start from doing community theater when they were kids and working their way, doing shows at a place like Northumberland Players, and then they go to Toronto and they get a degree, or whatever, they end up working television and becoming really good at their craft. But the second phase, and what we're doing, is what I would consider to be professional theater, mm-hmm. where the casts are smaller because of budgets, where we hope that what we are doing is telling a really good story well. So it's not about who is in it and who's participating. It's how well the participants are giving back to the community in terms of presentation. Mm-hmm. And for that, I think the expectation of the community should be higher. They should come into a theater like ours and say, "Well, you better be good. We're paying you for a ticket, and you say you're professional, and you better be good, because if it doesn't, I'm going to hear about it."
True, you probably are.
And so, in that sense, I think every theater does the same thing. I mean, we're storytellers.
Tell us a little about your first production, Feliz Navidad. How did it make use of the strengths of your company?
The idea, the tradition from Second City Theater and from theater utilizing, it's also the Canadian collective theater movement, starting mm-hmm. with Theatre Passe-Marais and the Farm Show in the 60s and Paper Wheat in Alberta. I mean, Canada's got a really rich tradition of cast-created plays. And so to understand how to make that a really rich experience, not only for creating it, but for watching it, the cast has to go pretty deep into what the cast thinks, their points of view, their personal experiences, and then come back out of that introspection with a solid idea for what we're going to try and put up. And then through improvisation, oftentimes, sometimes writing, we create a show. But it's all rooted back in the introspection phase of what we want to say about the world we live in and what the cast's personal experiences bring to the party.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So, Deborah, you've written several plays and adapted short stories for others. Would you like to read a scene from one of them with Michael?
Yeah, sure. This is a play I wrote called The Quartermaster. It's actually located in Bath, England, mm-hmm. which is during the Second World War.
Oh, yeah.
It's about two writers, of course, two editors. One is of the Daily Mirror in London,
okay.
I know, and the other one is of the Bath News, and it's based on a true story. It's a true story about Leroy, actually. He was an African-American who went over as a quartermaster during the Second World War and was accused of raping a young local girl in Bath. Because of military law at that time, he was sentenced to be hung. And nobody had been hung on British soil since 1897. So there was a big upcry about it, and the good people of Bath got together and petitioned Eisenhower. So I've written a story based on this man's true life, and this is the play. So here's a little scene from it. Cecil.
Elizabeth, you look well.
Oh, Cecil, it's been years. What are you doing here at this hour?
I'm in town on council business. Tried to make it back to London tonight, but the blackout, and I was walking back from the Winchester and saw the light on. My God, I haven't been here in years.
Well, it hasn't changed much. Sit down, please. It's great to see you. Healthy and safe and...
And you. Gorgeous as ever. You don't look a day older than the last time we met. But here, all alone, burning the midnight oil. Where's your husband, then?
He's volunteering. Too old to serve, of course. He hasn't seen you in years, either. He's been sent for. His communications experience in France. Ugh, I mustn't say another thing. It's so wonderful to see you.
So, he leaves you here in Bath all alone. At night.
I can take care of myself, Cecil. You know that. What council news?
Alderman Day. Trying to get noticed again. Thinks the Mirror has nothing else to write about, I suspect. And why are you here so late?
A criminal report.
What's happened?
An American GI has committed a grievance.
Damn Yanks. They're always up to something. What sort of grievance? Another fight up at the dance hall? A last minute like this must be important. It'll have to be back page.
He broke the law.
Then why don't you just tell me what he's done?
It hasn't been proven yet.
Well, there you go again, tight-lipped. Just like the old days. You should have stayed in London, you know. You'd be running the Mirror by now. Right us alongside me.
It was a long time ago, Cecil. Besides, I'm happy here.
Really?
Very happy.
Really? With so much excitement in this little town? I mean, you used to be...
That was a long time ago.
You've weathered very well.
Look, I really have to meet deadline.
Why was he arrested?
So far, it's an accusation. Only an accusation. It has to go to trial.
A trial? A Yank trial?
They try their own. Britain's got no say.
I know that, darling, but it must be severe if the military police can't handle it alone with a few days in their clink.
A Coombe Down woman, Jennifer Clark, she reported to police...
Jennifer Clark?
Yes, I don't know where I've heard that name before.
You probably don't know either.
Yes, I do, but where have I heard her before?
Well, everyone's heard about her.
How?
Jennifer Clark. Slippery Jenny.
That's it.
Jenny, Slippery Jenny. She'll break your heart and grab your penny. Everyone knows... Well, everyone in town knows her. She's been entertaining gents for years.
Gosh, that's what I've heard about her, when they arrested those women.
May, last year, during that raid.
Isn't she married?
He doesn't mind, as long as she brings home the cash. He's a drinker, that one. Works in the mines when she goes about town.
How do you remember this stuff?
When I come through here, which isn't very often, the news gets told to me over and over, delivered like a small bird trying to inflate its own chest. Well, I've heard about that lot while at the pub, time and again.
I've really got to get to this story out now. So she's a prostitute.
With big brown eyes, I hear. Well, everyone needs to eat. Who are we to judge, eh?
Well, he'll be judged, though. He'll hang.
Eh?
She's accused him of rape, Cecil.
Rape? It'll never fly. Besides, not a hanging offense.
Under U.S. military law, it is.
So they still hang?
At Shepton Mallet, if he's proven guilty...
They won't hang one of their own boys, surely.
They will if he's a Negro.
Ah.
Thank you very much, Deborah and Michael. Now we'll take a short break.